Hi everyone, and welcome back to the Advice Show. I'm Zach, a reporter at New Model Advisor, and today we're talking about custom index funds and Fundament's new service that allows advisors to build and manage their own customized index funds. Joining me today is Deputy Editor at NMA, Jack Gilbert, and Fundament CEO, Ola Abdul. Guys, thank you so much for coming onto the podcast. Ola, first question, how will Fundament's new service add value for advisors?
First of all, thank you very much for having me. This is such a great concept you've got here. So the question is, how do we add value? How does custom indexing add value to advisors? I think it's the ultimate financial planning tool, if you think about it. Because what do advisors do? They help their clients to meet various personalization objectives. So clients might want to attain a specific income at retirement, or they might today, they might be worried about inflation, right? They might be worried about the rising interest rate environment that we're in. Custom indexing allows them to actually express those preferences at scale. Now, they could do this directly by using the technology, or they may decide to work with investment managers, which most of them do these days. Now, there's a huge proportion of advisors who work with high quality DFMs out there. So those DFMs will be using this technology to deliver services to them. So it does add value in so many ways, but one of them is just making sure that you deliver for clients.
And how will the new tool work as quickly as you can?
You do it in 30 seconds, Ola. start the timer.
Within 30 seconds. Custom indexing in a nutshell is an evolution of index investing, which we can all agree has changed investing for the better. All right, so imagine you're able to buy S&P 500 index tracker for 10 basis points or less. And many people, if you go back 10, 20 years ago, that would cost a lot more than that. So index investing has changed things for the better. So this takes it to the next level. As I said before, it just brings that element of personalization to things. Nobody wants to just get off-the-shelf solutions anymore. At the same time, custom indexing is not an either-or solution. It doesn't mean if you're using it, you cannot continue to buy the index products you buy today already, whether that is an index mutual fund or an ETF. You could put all of them into the same model portfolio, which allows you to actually show your clients, how much value as an advisor or as an investment manager you're able to deliver. So it works by allowing people to do some of the things they do today, buying an index fund, but customize it.
So they can take out, weapon stocks from the S&P 500.
They could take out weapon stocks, for ESG purposes. It's actually very strong. One of the strong cases for custom indexing is ESG, but don't accept that it's the only use case for it.
Yeah.
But it's a very strong case, especially with all the everything we've learned about, asset managers not delivering the label that their product purport to deliver. So custom indexing allows you to actually go beyond the mutual fund wrapper and actually look at specific companies and say, that company doesn't reflect how I want my money to be managed or the values I care about. So those can go. Did you know that most of the returns in the S&P 500 index today have been from, a handful of companies?
The FANG stocks or?
Exactly. So what do you think of that? Do you think that is a risk that is worth paying?
That's a big risk. You could take it the other way and say, I just want to buy the FANG stocks.
I just want to buy the FANG stocks. But you must understand that then if you buy S&P 500, that's more or less what you're buying.
Yeah.
So custom indexing allows you to at least understand those risks and then decide whether that is the right way to go.
Yeah, interesting. And the way it actually works, so it's the advisors doing the customizing, right? They're the ones who are basically picking the stocks instead of the fund managers, or they have that option on the platform.
It's an open end. I mean, we've designed the product to be an open-ended technology. Mm-hmm. So that means an advisor who don't run their portfolios today can simply allow the portfolios to continue to be managed by the investment managers they work with. So those investment managers will be the team instructing the construction of the portfolios. So it doesn't have to be the advisors.
But it can be, advisors can say, I want to basically design my own custom index funds.
For advisors who do that, absolutely, if they have the right permissions to do it. And this is actually a question that came up when we presented the product at the conference.
Timeline conference.
At the Timeline conference nearly a month ago. Somebody said, do advisors need stock broking permission to do this? And I don't understand that question, because advisors, you know, recommend investments to clients. That is the definition of advice. You recommend an investment. And if the investing instruments that advisors have the permission to recommend include shares, this is part of it, except you're doing it at scale.
Yeah. And my question is also, this would cut out asset managers from stock selection and managing the fund. Why would advisors be better placed to customize investments than many of the asset managers that already do?
That's a good question. So why would the advisors? So the question here, if I can understand that, is about investment expertise.
Yes.
Which is primarily one of the reasons why people use mutual funds today. In fact, you know, it's the reasons why, you know, if you go back to, you know, 100 years or so, you know, the history of mutual funds, you know, it's one of the reasons why we have it. And I don't think that's going to change necessarily. Some advisors take a view as well on investments. They may have expertise. They may have been investment managers before. They may have knowledge about it. And we can never assume they shouldn't be able to use this, you know, purely because they're not investment managers. The technology is there and they should be able to interact with it. But investment managers who want to work with clients, and, you know, by doing away with the structure of a mutual fund, which is great, but we know, you know, what the drawbacks are. It's rigid and it doesn't, again, reflect what the clients actually want, not at scale anyway. This is a very good technology for that. And we don't see this, you know, as something that necessarily cuts out the asset managers. If anything, it could allow them to enhance the services they offer. So they, and we've seen some asset managers engaging with us on this solution as well. So don't be surprised if you see a couple of asset managers, you know, launching a solution using the Fundmain technology.
Interesting. And I mean, as far as we're aware as well, this is the first time. Fundmain is the first launch of a custom index service for UK advisors, correct?
It is, yes.
Yeah, but it does have a presence in America, and you know, it's been around in a few years. In the US, we've seen acquisitions like Vanguard, Franklin Templeton, some of the big asset managers in America have been making acquisitions in the custom indexing space. Mm-hmm. Do you think it has the potential to become as big as it is in America? I know it is gaining traction over there with the RIA community.
I believe it is. Otherwise, we wouldn't be doing it.
Yeah.
I believe it's a very powerful proposition. I think, as I've said before, the amount of personalization you can deliver is just is extraordinary, and this is only the beginning of it. So I do not see why this couldn't become a huge solution in the UK. If it, you know, index investing, don't forget itself, you know, came out of the US, and for many years, you know, it was kind of a US thing until the arrival of Vanguard in the UK. You know, I don't know when they arrived, 20 years ago. Obviously, BlackRock, you know, has been around way before then. So I think this, as I said before, this is just the evolution of it. So I will be surprised if this doesn't become another powerful toolkit in the armory of portfolio construction.
Do you think other platforms are well placed to also join you in this space?
Fundmain is well placed.
Okay.
You're ahead of the curve, Arno.
Yeah.
I know. Yes, it would be good to see other platforms, you know, embrace this and understand that. But it does require an awful lot of capability, not just in technology, but also understanding index, how index technology works, you know, on, you know, understanding how you rebalance an index, understanding how to scale it, understanding how to, you know, trading, all that sort of thing. So it's a very complex, very, very, very difficult thing to do. But I would be surprised again if other platforms don't begin to jump into this, especially as it starts to scale up and gain traction.
Mm. And I mean, look, I came into your offices a few weeks ago before you launched it, and it was cool to see, you know, you guys showed me the demo, which was nice to see. And I think that something I took away from that as well was that, you know, this is an example of innovation in the platform space. But from where I'm kind of sitting, I haven't seen much innovation happen in the last, I don't know, 5 years in the platform world. It seems like there's nothing that's really come along that's really changed things, or any new kind of inventions that have really altered the platform, what a platform is, or platforms do for advisors in the UK. Just wondering what your thoughts were in terms of what's been holding back this innovation up until this point.
I think you're going to start to see more innovation. You should expect most of that to come from the up-and-coming companies, purely because they're building things basically from the ground up, clean slate.
You don't have legacy technology.
Exactly. That helps. And you also should expect that the talent that some of these companies are able to bring into the platform industry can help as well. You know, there will be, you know, guys that of, you know, individuals, boys and girls, men and women, that could otherwise be working for some of the top tech companies outside of financial services, you know, who, for example, that's our experience that we're able to attract, you know, into our company. So that talent, that expertise, you know, is come into the platform business. So that is also going to change. And some of these guys are not going to come into companies like Fundament and they just want to sit there and buy software from someone else, or, you know, do something that is not challenging or exciting for them. So you should expect, you know, to see more of it. So innovation, I think, will pick up over the coming years. We would definitely be pushing the boundary in terms of, you know, what is possible.
Mm.
You know, there's a lot more that we could do on retirement investing, for example. Are people going to draw down, that sort of thing? We're engaging with advisors on that. You guys are aware of custom indexing, but there are a lot more still to come. We're just scratching the surface at this point, I have a feeling that over the next 5-10 years, and I think the definition of what platform is will change. I'm not going to tell you what that might be at this point. I'll keep that to my chest, but I don't think it will look like anything we've seen until now.
Yeah. And we should have said this is your own technology. You know, Fundament designed it, and it's
all our technology. You've been to our offices, and I don't, you know, you came in on a day when there wasn't anyone in the office.
Yeah, there was like no one there.
Yeah, exactly. So come back on a Tuesday or Thursday. You probably see more people there. You know, you'd be more than welcome to go over and speak to some of the guys building the products, and, you know, just have a conversation with them on what they do, that sort of thing. Yeah, we build all of our own technology in-house. One thing we care very passionately about is the technology. The technology is so important to us. We're so passionate about it. And it's, we think that's who we are. You know, we don't see ourselves as an asset manager or a platform operator or whatever you want to call it. We just see ourselves as a core software.
Do you think the lack of innovation has been a symptom of the outsourcing model of platforms?
I do. And I'm not, I'll be very upfront about that. I really do. I think outsourcing has been net negative for the platform business. I really do. I think it allows people to just solve problems by pushing it to someone else. It's like passing the buck. You know what? You know, they always say if you want something done, what do? You do it yourselves, right? If you want it done very well, you do it yourself, something like that. And if you don't own that technology, if your responsibility or the accountability rests with someone else, and your teams and everyone is aware that, you know what, if it goes wrong, it's not our fault, but it's someone else's fault. That is not a good place to be. And if you look at some of the best companies in the world today, some of the, you know, most valued companies in the world, can you give me an example? Can you give me one company that doesn't build its own technology itself?
I'm putting us on the spot here a little bit. You know, not off the top of my head there, I'd say that, you know, certainly the big Microsofts and things. I mean, they must outsource things, certain things.
There are things, of course, you can't do everything. So there will be a part of their business where they would rely on others to help them. But I don't believe the core product, which was, you know, these companies, Apple, for example, you know, Microsoft, you mentioned them, their core product is technology. Mm-hmm. I would be surprised if any part of that has been outsourced. They may well buy components from a variety of places.
Or they're using the cloud or whatever, the data storage. But
yeah, so
it's components, it's not there.
Exactly. So it's not a core product. So I don't accept that a great technology company should be one that doesn't sit and own its own technology product.
Yeah. You said earlier about you think the nature of platforms themselves are going to change in the next 5 to 10 years. I just want to bring in Consumer Duty for a second, because that has put an emphasis on changing the relationship between changing the responsibility, rather, of platforms, explicitly saying that you're responsible for client outcomes now as well. I wondered what you make of this, and whether that will affect advisors with a greater emphasis on them, sort of on platforms, sorry, outlining their responsibilities.
Advisors already do what is right by clients. Most of them already, you know, would argue they deliver good client outcomes. I suspect, you know, what you're going to see is, you know, we now have to produce evidence to support those assertions, and I'm confident that this, you know, the industry will be ready to deliver that. It's a good initiative, and it's you know, pushes the industry in the right direction. But it doesn't, for me, change the fact that, as you said earlier, innovation is still something that the industry hasn't done very well, and I'm not necessarily convinced that the Consumer Duty will be the trigger for that. If anything, it would help to sort of evidence why people.
Is there more the regulator could do to drive innovation in the platform space?
That's a good question. I don't know what the answer to that is. Maybe you do.
That's why I'm asking it.
They already do. They already they've communicated what they expect from all of us. How they expect us to serve clients. Consumer Duty obviously is an expression of what they expect all of us to deliver the threshold level of client support and understanding and the rest of it. A lot of that obviously will have to be transposed into practical aspect through innovation. Innovation is probably the one way you can sort of address some of those expectations. And we'll see how that plays out over the coming years.
And Ola, so I mean, if you look, just if I'm an advisor, kind of sitting here thinking, like, listen to the podcast and thinking the custom indexing tool sounds great. But something we often hear from advisors is they are sometimes reluctant to use a smaller platform, which I guess fair to describe yourselves as at this point, a smaller kind of a newish platform who, you know, don't have the scale of the big insurers and Lifecos and, you know, the Transacts of the world. There's always that reluctance because, you know, they want to use a big institution. Mm-hmm. What would you say to an advisor who maybe has some of those fears?
I think it's 3 years ago, that would have been a much stronger fear, really, because we're just setting out at that point. But not anymore. Today, we're beginning to gain scale on our own terms. And
Can you say what your AUM is?
We are around the $2 billion mark now. And we will be cash flow positive by the turn of the year, by Christmas of this year. We're expecting... I think I'm already letting the cat out of the bag in a way. We thought this could be a big story to tell everyone, but it's still going to be a big story when we do achieve that. Because we think that is going to be an amazing milestone for our business. Yeah. And so those advisors, you know, are fine. It makes sense, you know, for them to want to understand, you know, if I entrust my business to this new up and coming company, you know, am I sure they're going to be there, you know, over the next 5-10 years? That is an absolutely legitimate question to ask. And the answer to that is yes. We've come through COVID, which, you know, everyone can tell was very challenging to most businesses and people as well. And we're still growing very, very fast. And we're now in a position, and we continue to invest in the platform. And we now think we have one of the most advanced platform, if not the most advanced in the country today. And we're also confident of being cash flow positive by the end of the year. So there is a lot for those advisors to think about as part of their due diligence. And I always say due diligence is not a kind of a desk-based exercise. It really isn't. It should be about engaging with the businesses, you know, their senior management, understanding what they're doing, where they've come from, and the direction they're taking the business. And we are very open with a lot of that with many of the firms we work with. Some of them are actually working with us before we, you know, very, very, very early days.
Yeah.
And they're very happy with the services that they're getting from us. And that's not going to change. So my message to those advisors is come and talk to us.
And you're backed by ETF.
We've got a lot of our investors behind us who've been with us from the very beginning. And
as an ETF investor,
ETFS Capital is one of our investors.
Which is private equity,
venture capital. There's a difference, but
there is a difference. Yeah,
Jack. Yeah.
And just lastly, a month on from the launch of the new service, have you had much interest? And can you tell us?
We have. I don't know if I'm able to put names or give you. But it's been incredibly encouraging, the amount of interest across the industry from advisors who see it as a very strong financial planning tool, as I mentioned earlier, to investment managers who want to use this to scale up the services it provides to advisors. And it's really good to see what people are doing with it. We expect, you know, by September, October, we would start to maybe share some of the learnings and the data from it. But at this point in time, we'd rather keep those private and just let those firms continue to probe and interact with the technology.
That seems like a great note to end on. Ola, Jack, thank you so much for your time. It's been fascinating. You've been listening to The Advice Show with myself, Zach Sharif, reporter at NMA, Jack Gilbert, deputy editor at NMA, and CEO of Fundman, Ola Abdul. For any questions, please feel free to tweet us at New Model Advisor or email us at nmateam@citywire.co.uk. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you next week.